Usfartem lachem mi mochras ha-shabos mi yom haviachem es omer. If you count the number of letters up until this point, from Usfartem until Omer, says Chassam Sofer in a famous drasha, you'll come up with 33 letters. And of course, the number 33, within the context of Sfiras Omer, is a significant and symbolic number, Lag Lamed Gimel Lag BaOmer. Says the Chassam Sofer, on that day, in the first year after Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Omer began to fall from Shemayim. So there's a sort of play on words here. The Omer is the barley that's brought in the Karban on the 16th day of Nisan, after which we count the days of the Omer. But the Omer is also symbolic here, insofar as it's the culmination of these 33 letters, of the man that started coming down from Shemayim at that point in Jewish history. A very critical and glorious moment that coincides with Lag BaOmer, and the Omer is also symbolic of the man because of the volume that fell for each member of Klal Yisrael, and this began to be collected by each individual member, or for each individual member, on Lag BaOmer. So that becomes a critical day. Now, what we'd like to analyze within the context of this drush of the Chassam Sofer is the conceptual connection between these two ideas. The idea of counting the Omer, leading up to and culminating with Kabbalah Satorah, and the falling of the man. And we're going to see, and it's pretty obvious for those who are familiar with Chazal, that there's a connection between the man and the receiving of the Torah. But what's new, I think, is this idea that the connection between man and Kabbalah Satorah falls on this day specifically of Lag BaOmer. And Lag BaOmer, as we'll soon see, initiates a period of time that culminates with Kabbalah Satorah. But this period of time, from Lag BaOmer until Kabbalah Satorah, the end of the Sfira, is a period of time, although it precedes chronologically Kabbalah Satorah, but it is the beginning, so to speak, of Kabbalah Satorah. And that connection with Lag BaOmer and that connection with the Man is something that we want to clarify. The Parsha of Man is, of course, in Bishalach. And there, the Torah says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. Hashem speaks about the man raining down from Shamayim. And v'yotza'am v'loktu dvar yom b'yomo. And the people of Israel would go out and collect on a daily basis the man. L'man anasenu hayelech b'sorasi imlo. There's an element of nisoyon, of challenge, within the context of the man. There are specific mitzvos, commands, and prohibitions enjoining them from X, Y, and Z, how they collect the man, how much they collect, what days they should collect, not to collect too much. And this was a nisoyon. This was a challenge. What we'd like to take a look at now is the Mechilta, which makes a very important comment here on this pasuk, which is perhaps the quintessential pasuk of Omer, of the lechem min hashamayim, the man that came down. Rabbi Yeshua Omer,
Shona Adam Shtei Alochos B'Shachris U'Shtayim Ba'Arvis V'Osek B'Malachto Kol Hayom. Rabbi Yeshua addresses the case of your rank and file citizen. He's not dedicated exclusively to the study of Torah, but nevertheless, he studies Torah. He studies two halachos in the morning, two halachos in Arvis. He doesn't chaperon just one halacha, because that would be a little bit too minimum. He wants to show and indicate how much he loves the Torah. And he does this on a daily basis, day and night. Then he goes out to do his malacha kol hayom, the entire balance of the day. He's not sitting in the base medrash. But maila olav, the Torah considers it, says Rabbi Yeshua, ki ukiyem kol haTorah kula. It's as if he had implemented the entire Torah. And the Mechilta continues, Mikan hoy Rab Shimon bar Yochai Omer lo nitna Torah lidrosh elali ochle haman. Again, connecting, as it were, the study of Torah with the man, haketzad, hayoshev vidoresh v'lo yodea mehechan ochel v'shosa mehechan hayolovesh u'mechasa. A person who dedicates himself exclusively to the study of Torah, this is the exact opposite of what we saw in Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's frame of reference. Adarabba, we're talking about someone who's kulo Torah, he's completely, exclusively dedicated to the study of Torah. And how is that possible? Mehechan ochel v'shosa, where's his food going to come from? Mehechan ayelovesh, how is he going to have clothing and dress himself up, machasa, warm himself up? But the answer is, lo nitna Torah lidrosh el yochle aman. This is a unique category. This is a group of people who are begeder ochle haman, and they rely, as it were, on the miracle of man. Hashem supplies them with man so that they can dedicate themselves to the study of Torah. And what I'd like to study with you within the context of this Mechilta is an insight of the Kedushas HaLevi. And this will perhaps connect us back to the connection between, as we said, the Omer, specifically Lag BaOmer, the day in which the Man fell min HaShamayim, and Matan Torah, leading up to Matan Torah. Says the Kedush Salevi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchov, Vayikra lo Yaakov Gal'ei. This is back in Parshas Vayetze, at the culmination of the episode, the encounter between Yaakov and Lavan, and they enter into some sort of a quasi-truce, and Yaakov sets up a stone which is called Gal'ei. Now, what the Kedush HaLevi does is he splits this word Gal'ed, which is made up of four letters, into two. The first is Gal, and the second is Eid. And the word Gal is Gimel Lamed, which is the equivalent of 33. And that, says the Kedush HaLevi, the Gal part of Gal'ed, is a remez, it's an allusion to Lag BaOmer. It's not coincidental that the numerical value of Gal is in fact the same as Lag BaOmer. He goes on to say that there's an additional remez here, and that is the word aid. And we'll see in a minute, as he develops and presents his thesis, what aid represents. He says that Ikar Hanisim Vaniflos, the culmination of all the miracles that the Jewish people experienced from the time of the beginning of the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim till its culmination at Yamsuf,
is of course the splitting of the sea. And obviously we understand that fundamentally the purpose of these Nisim and Niflos was to spare, to save, to redeem the people of Israel, to publicize God's name, and Laman Yedu, that we should know and recognize God. But there's another dimension that perhaps we de-emphasize and should be brought to light. He says, Kedeshin Akabel HaTorah B'mamad Har Sinai V'nis Avelo Li'ovdo U'Lekabel HaTorah. The miracles, and especially focuses on Kriyas Yamsuf in particular, are meant to impact and arouse the Jewish people to crave, to desire serving Hashem. Hashem is our great master, master of the universe, controls, changes, and protects Klal Yisrael. That itself engenders within the heart of every single Jew a taiva, as he calls it, a desire, a craving to serve Hashem. He is my master, Zekeli Vianveu, and to receive his Torah. And there's no doubt in anyone's mind, I think, that the Kedushas HaLevi is connecting the entire process of Yetzias Mitzrayim with, as the Pasuk says, when Hashem addresses Moshe at the Sneh, Yavdun es Hashem tachas ha'har hazeh, that the ultimate goal and purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all the miracles is for the people of Israel to accept the Torah. So now, in the hearts and emotional feeling and soul of every Jew, there's aroused a desire, a great craving for receiving the Torah. And he says that if we take a look at the period of Sfiras HaOmer, which of course begins right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, in other words, after Paro, Makas Pachoros, frees the Jewish people, we begin to count the Omer. And that's meant to connect the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim with the culmination point at the end of the Sfira of Kabbalah Satorah. And the first period of time within the framework of the 49 days, because according to Kedushas HaLevi, and we've already seen something similar in the Chasam Sofer, the block of time called the Sfira, the 49 days, is not to be seen as one indivisible entity, but should be smashed into parts. It should be broken down into component parts. The first component part is the influence, or if you will, the spillover emotionally and psychologically of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Nisim and Niflos, of Kriyas Yamsuf. And that period of time takes us all the way to Lag BaOmer. And he calls it Me'ira, Me'ira Milosha Meir. There's a certain light that shines, a spiritual light that will take us from the beginning of Sphere with Yetzias Mitzrayim all the way till Lag BaOmer. Now begins a second period of time from Lag BaOmer, another hell, or another light, a spiritual light that takes us all the way till Maimed Har Sinai, till Kabbalah Satorah. And it's interesting that within the philosophy of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, and this is so common amongst the holy works, the Ha'ara goes in two ways. I mean, we think of time, the philosophy of time, is moving forward. It never moves backwards. If you talk about an event and its impact, you move forward in time to the future. We never think about a particular event in time, how it impacts Lema Freya retroactively on a period that came before it. But he says that that's what we have to do with this period of 49 days of the Omer. We have to split it in half. One moves forward, meaning the impact of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, up till Lag BaOmer. And the other period of time, which begins with Lag BaOmer, is something that's retroactive from Har Sinai. The influence of Har Sinai goes all the way back to Lag BaOmer, and from Lag BaOmer we have this light that awakens within us the experience of Kabbalah Satorah. We're already well on our way to Kabbalah Satorah. And he writes that Ha'ara Shel Yitzias Mitzrayim Ayachana L'Matan Torah. We need that first period of time from Yitzias Mitzrayim up to Lag BaOmer as a preparation for Matan Torah. All the Nisim V'Niflos that took place within the broader framework of Yitzias Mitzrayim were to engender within us a taiva, as we said, a desire, a craving for Matan Torah through that love relationship of receiving the Nisim V'Niflos. And once we have achieved this level at the pinnacle, which is called Lag BaOmer, of a taiva for Matan Torah, waiting just desperately for Matan Torah and Maamar Har Sinai, at that point, Maamar Har Sinai itself is almost, shall I say, in existence. It's already having its impact. We're in the Kabbalah Satorah, not the Hachana Kabbalah Satorah, but the Kabbalah Satorah period of time, which begins with Lag BaOmer. Now, how does all this link back to the pasuk that we began with here? Vayikra lo Yaakov gal eid. Beautiful. Now we can take that word gal eid, comprised of four letters, and split it into two. Gal and eid. Now, what it means is that we achieve gal, which as we said is 33, and that's the remez of 33, the first 33 days leading up to Lag BaOmer, and then we're ready for the Ha'or of Kabbalah Satorah. That's called Eid. He says the word Eid, of course, there are many psukim in Tanakh that use the word Eid. For example, in Yechezkel is a famous pasuk which we recite at Agoda, Adi Adayim, or for example, back in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, it says, Horeid Ed Yecha Me'alecha, meaning the aid is the crown, the spiritual crown that reflects the elevated status of the Jew, especially after Matan Torah when they receive two crowns, each Jew. So it comes out, according to the Kedushas HaLevi, that up until Lag BaOmer, there was the Ha'ar of Yetzias Mitzrayim to engender within us this great Taiva for Kabbalah Satorah. From Lag BaOmer, we have the Ha'ar of Kabbalah Satorah itself. And that is alluded to, that Kabbalah Satorah, in the word Eid. Because Eid is a remez on the Torah, because the crown indicates that higher level of Keser Torah that was achieved and attained by each Jew with Kabbalah Satorah. So we have the Gal, that's the first period of time, and that ends, of course, with Lag BaOmer. The Hachana is in place, the preparation is all there, the pieces of the puzzle are fixed, the Jew is eager, desiring of Kabbalah Satorah, the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael is one of Ava. And in the context of that intense Ava, now comes the second and culmination of that period of time from Lag BaOmer until the 6th of Sivan of Kabbalah Satorah. That's a period of time of Kabbalah Satorah. That's called Eid. So you have the Gal, which is Lag BaOmer, and you have the Eid, which is the Torah itself, insofar as the Torah is a crown. Now, let's get back to the Chasam Sofer and his drush that we began with. And you'll recall that the Chasam Sofer, like the Kedushas HaLevi, puts a tremendous emphasis on Lag BaOmer, on the number 33, insofar as it begins a new period of time. It should be marked on the calendar because it has a tremendous, you know, it's like, you know, we talk about certain days on the calendar in any nation. You know, there's Yom HaTzma'ut, you know, there's Independence Day, there's July 4th. Every nation has its own calendar date when something tremendous occurred on that day in the history of the nation. And here, says the Chasam Sofer, what took place on Lag BaOmer, that was a new period of time in which the people of Israel would be sustained for the next 40 years because of the Horadas Haman the Hidini Mamter Lechem Lechem in Hashemayim, which coincided with Lag BaOmer. But now the Chasam Sofer goes even a step further. And he, like the Kiddush Salevi, takes this block of time, the 49 days, and subdivides it into different categories. But in the case of the Chasam Sofer, there are three different categories, three different time periods. Whereas, according to the Kiddush Salevi, the 49 days of them comprises two different periods. According to the Drash Chasam Sofer, it's three different periods. And here's how he works it out. He says that the days of Sfira, which are again days of preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, in that sense he's on the same page as the Kiddush Salevi, that should be, that block of Yemei HaSfira should be divided up into three periods. Now each period of time, he says, is made up of 16 days. So we have the first 16 days, which are days of Gemilus Chasodim. Okay, then we have the Mishnah at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. He doesn't specifically invoke that Mishnah, but there's no question he's accessing that Mishnah for us, that Al Gimel Dvarim Olam Omed. And we start with Gemilus Chasod. That's the first 16-day period of time. Now we enter into a second period of time, which is also 16, and that represents Avoda. And that takes us to day 32, because 16 and 16 is 32, Yom Lamed Beis. Okay, fine. Now we're ready for the third period of time. The third period of time is going to be, of course, the period of Torah. And that begins with day 33. Now, 33 to 49 is going to be, again, that magic number of 16. So we have now another period of time which is made up of that same 16, and that is Yomim Shel Torah. And the allusion here, which he bases on a Gadita, a Mesechta Erev in Daf Yud Aleph, that Torah is Lev Tov. And Kirchsiv Vayitav Libo, with regard to Boaz, it says Vayitav Libo, and the Gemara derives that this pasuk is an allusion to the Torah. So we have now the word Lev, and we have the word Tov. Lev is Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis is, of course, 32. And we're going to add 17, which is Tov. So you have 7 and 2 is 9. 1 and 3 is 4. We get to 49. So the number 49 is made up of three blocks, of three subdivisions. It's got the 16 days of Gemilas Chasodim. It has the 16 days that follow of Avoda. That culminates in day 32. Now we're ready for the third period of time, which is the period of Torah. And that's going to take us a full 17 days, meaning from day 33 all the way till day 49. And that is 17. So if we add 32 and 17, we get 49. 32 representing Gemilas Chasodim and Avoda, and the 17, which is the Gematria of Tov, is 49. So the Lev of Lamed Beis, in the phrase Lev Tov, represents the first two periods of time. So the Lev comprises the Gemilas Chasodim and the Avoda, 16 times 2, and that's Lev. Then we get to Tov, and Tov represents Torah, because Lev Tov, according to Chazal, is Torah, and the the Tov is the 17. So we have 16, 16, and 17. And that last period of 17 of Tov, which begins with Lag BaOmer, is the period of Torah. Lowest common denominator, so to speak, between the Kedushas HaLevi and the Chasam Sofer, it's almost begeder shnei neviim shenisnamnu b'signon echad, two prophets that prophesized in the same style, is that the last period of time, beginning with Lag BaOmer, represents the period of Torah. But again, we want to swing back to the pasuk in Beshalach, because the pasuk in Beshalach, hinini man til lechem, lechem in Hashemayim, meaning Ya'man, that starts with day number 33, Lag BaOmer, as we saw in the drasha of the Chasam Sofer, and the Mechilta that connects that experience of man in the formulation, the presentation of Rav Shimon bar Yochai with Torah study. Now, if we go back to Parshas Man in Beshalach, what we were looking at before is earlier in the parsha, and now we want to fast forward to the end of the parsha. Vayomer Moshe, Ze adover shetziva Hashem, Melo haomer mimenu l'mishmeres l'doroseichem. An omer, again, we're not talking about Lag BaOmer here, but certainly there's a symbolic message here in the word omer, has to be set aside l'mishmeres as a memory device, so to speak, locked up l'doroseichem for all generations. L'man yiru es halechem asher echalti eschem b'midbar botzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. So that now there's an emphasis here on the man l'doroseichem. And it comes under l'man yiru es halechem. It means that Hashem commands that the omer of the man should be placed aside and preserved as a message, as a memory device for all generations, and it's a memorial to this experience of Klal Yisrael, and in all generations to remember and to see that lechem that Hashem used to and granted to Bnei Yisrael to sustain the people of Israel in the Midbar. So there's a message inherent in the man that has to be taken for all of Jewish history. Man is not just a one-time experience of the 40 years in the Midbar to sustain the people and save them, but it goes beyond that. It's a symbolic idea that's inherent in the man that is essential to Klal Yisrael, has to be taken throughout generations. The pasuk goes on to say, "Vayomer Moshe Aaron kach tzinsenes achas." Take a certain tzinsenes, some sort of a receptacle, and put inside that receptacle an omer of man. And where is this tzinsenes of man meant to be placed? You know, it's not enough to say, let's take an omer of man, put it in its tzinsenes, and that's it. Yeah, but where is this tzinsenes? It's supposed to last throughout the generations. So the pasuk says, v'hanachos so lifnei Hashem. And once again, l'mishmeres l'dor seichem. Rashi says, in his commentary on the Torah, v'hanachos so lifnei Hashem, lifnei ha'aron. Lifnei ha'aron. Lifnei Hashem means in front of the Aron. Now, we all know that the Aron was the specific singular Klei HaMikdash that housed and hosted the Luchos HaBris, the Sefer Torah. Says Rashi, V'lo nemar mikra zeh anshe nivna ol moed el shenichtav kan b'parshas Haman. There's something amazing going on here in terms of Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Torah is commanding Aaron to place the Tzinsenes Haman in front of the Aaron. The Parash of Man is way before Matan Torah. The Parash of Man is way before the Torah was placed in the Aaron and before the Mishkan itself was built. So there's no Ol Moed. There's no Aaron, and yet the Torah commands to place the man, lifnei Hashem, lifnei Aaron. How is that possible? And Rashi's answer is El Shenichtav Kan Parshtaman that Enochinami at this point in time, chronologically, was no possibility of fulfilling this mitzvah. Again, I don't know exactly where, according to Rashi, the Tzinsenes Haman was hanging out, so to speak, until they finally built the old moed and they could put and place the Tzinsenes Haman in front of the Aron. That I can't tell you. But be that as it may, the mitzvah is being given early, premature, before its possibility of implementation, because there's no old moed, there's no Aron yet. But it was specifically placed here, according to Rashi, in the Parsha of Man, apparently indicating that there's some conceptual connection between the Man and the Aron. If we're learning the study and studying the Parsha of Man, we have to know about the Aron in the Old Moed, even though right now it's not there yet. But Man equals Aron, Man equals Old Moed. If you take a look at the Rambam at the beginning of the fourth chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he speaks about Evan Hoysa B'Kodesh HaKadoshim, what we call the Evan HaShasiyah B'Maravo, and what was placed on top of this Evan, of this great stone, Olea Hoya HaAron Munach. The Aron was placed on the top of this Evan HaShasiyah, Vilifanov, and what was placed in front of the Aron, the Rambam says two things. Tzinsenes Haman Umata Aron. Now, Rabosai, we're injecting here another element into this equation. You know, until now we've been focused on Man, we've been focused on the Tzinsenes Haman and its connection to the Aron, even though the Aron wasn't built yet at this point in the command, but foreseeing and anticipating the building of the Aron. And now we're adding another element here. Not only is the Tzinsenes Haman placed in front of the Aron, but also the Mata Aron is placed in front of the Aron. The Rambam continues, and he tells us, B'yeshev bona shlomas abayis, v'yoda sersofa licharev, bona bo makam lignos bo aron, lamata b'matmonius amukos, v'nignas imo Mata Aron v'tzinsenes v'shemen amishcha. The Rambam says that Shlomo Melch anticipated that the bias would not last forever, would be destroyed, sofali charev, and therefore he built a structure subterranean, deep down, Rashi, the Rambam writes, you know, lamata, below the surface of matmonios, in the deepest parts, underground, and that's where he hid the Mata Aron, and it's in Tzinsenes Haman, and the Shemen HaMishcha, the Aron would be Begniza, but all those things that are connected to the Aron would also be Begniza. And that's where the lost ark is, somewhere Begniza. Don't bother looking for it. In any event, what is this connection here? Why is it that Hashem commands that the Tzinsenes Haman be a Mishmeres L'Doros Sechem? What's the message of the Man for all generations? We understand its significance in the Midbar, but why beyond? Why is it connected by the Parsha to the Aron, which hasn't been built yet, and why is it connected to the Mata Aron? On L'Doros Sechem, back in the Pasuk of Meloa Omer, Mishmeres L'Doros Sechem, Rashi comments, and I think here's where he spills the beans, so to speak. Bimei Yirmiyo, L'Doros Sechem is a specific reference to the time of Yirmiyo. But again, Rabosai, please, let's understand the Rashi carefully, because although Yirmiyo is going to use and display and point to the Tzinsenes Haman, but it's a message for all generations. Rashi tells us, Kishahoya Yirmiyo Mochicham, when Yirmiyo castigated the people of Israel, Lama Einatem Oskim B'Torah, why are you ignoring the study of Torah? Apparently, at the period of time of Yirmiyo, it shouldn't shock us, Torah study was on a certain low ebb. Vehem Omrim, what was the counter argument, defense argument put forth by the Jewish people against Yirmiyo? Naniach malachteinu v'nasok b'Torah? You want us to dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah? You want us to be kololniks? And what are we going to do? Me'echan is parnes with parnasa? You've heard that argument. It's pretty contemporary. But it dates back to this dialogue, so to speak, between Yirmiyo and the B'nai Doro. So what did Yirmiyahu do? Hotzi lehem tzinsenes haman. He displayed the man. Omar lehem. And he turns to them and he said, Atem re'u dvar Hashem. This is a pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. And it says, Shimu lo nemar. Rashi quotes a chazal that Yirmiyahu didn't say, listen to Dvar Hashem. Usually the Navi castigates the people and says, hearken to the words of God. But here it says, Re'u Dvar Hashem. What does that mean, Re'u Dvar Hashem? Ah, El Re'u, meaning, take a look at the Tzinsenes Aman, Bozenes Parnasu, Amoseichem. How were your ancestors able to survive? And the answer is, Harbe shluchim yeshal makom lahachin mazon liareyav, have an element of bitachon, rely on Hashem. And therefore, if you take the message of the man to heart, if you're impacted and inspired by the tzinsenes haman, you'll understand that there's no excuse here. You can't say bameh nisparnes. You have to be dedicated to the study of Torah, and you have to rely on Hashem. There is a greater God here. And he provided for the people of Israel back at the time of the inception of the nation in the diaper stage. And they were going through the Midbar. They were brand new. A new nation that emerged. And that they were able to dedicate themselves to the study of Torah and rely on Hashem on a daily basis for the miracle of man. And the question is, you know, and we're going to get back to this mechilta that we began with, Rabbi Yeshua, Shononam Shtelachos, this, that, and the other thing. And then there was Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who says, Lo nitna Torah lidrosh el leochle aman. So, how does it divide up? You know, who, let's say you were in charge of the population of Israel, how would you divvy it up? You know, who's meant to be in the battalion, the legions of dedication to Torah, and Re'u Dvar Hashem, and rely on the great miracle of the man Hashem will provide for you. You dedicate yourself to the study of Torah. And who's going to be the rank and file of Parnasa, Malacha? And the Gemara quotes Chizkiah, one of the Amoraim, in Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis, in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah v'heim mu'atim. Now again, I'm not sure if the phrase b'nei aliyah here is to be interpreted as those who dedicate themselves exclusively to the study of Torah, but you know what? If it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai who's talking about them, then you can bet your bottom dollar that we're talking about those who are dedicated to Re'u Dvar Hashem, to rely, as our forefathers did, on the man that came in Shamayim, but they are b'nei aliyah mu'atim. You know, you can't talk about everyone. You have to talk about a limited member of a limited membership club representing one segment of Klal Yisrael. And this, in fact, is the famous machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Masechta Brachos Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. We've quoted this sugya on numerous occasions. And the Gemara brings a brisa that is interpreting the pasuk V'yasafta Digonecha. What does it mean? Go out and collect your produce, the grains that grow in the fields. And now we start with Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. In Sefer Yeshua it says, Lo Yomush Torah, Sefer Torah Zemi Picha, which means that you're always learning. Is Yachol Dvam Kiksavam? Should I take that literally, that every Jew is required to learn Torah exclusively, dedicate himself Yomam Valaila to the study of Torah of Lo Yomush Sefer Torah Zemi Picha Yom Valaila? Talmud Lomer, that's what the Pasuk wants to teach us here. Safta Degonecha and Heg Bahem Minog Derech Eretz Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says you have to address the challenges of life and Parnasa within the normal framework, the causality of nature. And in the order of nature, it means V'yasafta Degonecha. That's called Minog Derech Eretz. So the Torah, according to Rabbi Shmuel and the Pasuk V'yasafta Degonecha, is advocating that one dedicate himself to V'yasafta Degonecha, to Minog Derech Eretz. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, how could that be? I mean, what's the logical conclusion of Rabbi Shmuel's agenda, of his policy? Is Adam A person is going to be choresh b'shas harisha, zorea b'shas ria, kotze b'shas ktsira, dosh b'shas disha. He's going through all the sidur de pasi, you know, all the different malachas that a person has to be involved in if he's a farmer and he's growing his produce, you know, starting with harisha, going to zria. He plows and he plants and he harvests and ktsira and disha, and then he winnows it, and who knows what other malachas he could have listed here. Is Torah? Where's his time for Torah? He says Torah matei olea. I mean, literally, what's going to be with the Torah? Is the Torah completely ignored? How do we interpret v'yasafta ganecha as mandating, according to Rabbi Shmuel, hanig by minig derech eretz? What's going to happen to Torah study? Are we completely removing Torah study? Is it off the charts? Ela bisman she Yisrael osim ritzonos shel makom. But rather, what we have to understand is that v'yasafta ganecha is not a description of the ideal situation. If the Jewish people are dedicated to fulfill the will of God exclusively, then malachto nasas al yidei acherim. Yeah, v'yasafta ganecha, but it's not you. Somebody else is going to do it for you. You'll be able to benefit. You know, it's like man min hashamayim. Shenembar v'yomdu zorim u'ru'u tzonachem v'chulei kotza poskei tanach. But bizman, now we get to v'yasafta ganecha. Bizman she'ein Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom. Is malachto nasas al yidei atzmo shenembar v'yasafta ganecha. So now we have a machlokas here between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai on what might be the most fundamental issue of the service of Hashem of a Jew. How should he go about dedicating his life to malacha, to Torah? What should it be? Rabbi Yishmael advocates hanig b'emnim midig derech eretz, you know, do your malacha. And Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai argues, if that be the case, Torah matei olea, but rather a person should be dedicating himself to Torah study, and that's the ideal situation. V'yasafta ganecha is a fallback in event that we're not doing ritzono shel makom. So Abaye here in the Gemara in Brachos makes a comment, which the Marsha embellishes as to halacha l'maisa, so to speak. So what do we walk away with in terms of this controversy on such a fundamental issue between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai? Omar Abaye, harbe osu ki Rabbi Yishmael. In other words, the masses of the populace of the Jewish nation followed the policy that was advocated by Rabbi Yishmael. Vi also biyodom, and they were successful. Again, we have to see what that means, but Abai continues to say, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, many who followed the agenda and implemented Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's mandate, velo also, they were not successful. Says the Marsha, harbe osu ki Rabbi Yishmael niru lefaresh devada yesh tzadikim gemurim demekayim demekuyim bahem malachton nases al yidei acherim el dema'atim heim. You know what? Rabbi Yishmael is definitely the policy that is appropriate and fitting for the masses of the Jewish nation, because tzaddikim gemurim live on a high level. But how many are there? Can you count them on one hand? And not only that, says the Marsha, it's Rav Shimon bar Yochai himself in Masechta Sukkah. That's what we were trying to figure out when Rav Shimon bar Yochai made that statement in Masechta Sukkah of Ra'isi b'nei Aliyah hem mu'atim, the very few of them. Was he referring to the b'nei Aliyah who dedicate themselves exclusively to Torah study? Says the Marsha, that's exactly what he was referring to. And the language of Marsha is very telling. He says, "Kidomar Rav Shimon bar Yochai gufe." He himself admits it. Beperek lulav harava sukkah memehamid beis. That ra'isi b'nei aliyah vehemu atim. You know, we're talking about elef nichnasiv echad yotzis l'ra. You know, one in a thousand. Since there's so few and far between, not everyone should put himself into that category and say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate myself exclusively to the study of Torah, the manal form in Hashamayim. I'm guaranteed success because of Rav Shimon bar Yochai's policy. No. Ein lechol adam lismoch al zelomar she'eni osa melocha klal lefisha malachti nasa yisal yidei achir tzadik gomran. A person cannot assume and, you know, evaluate himself, give him a great grade as a tzadik gomor. I'm a tzadik gomor. The shema utah, maybe he's making a mistake. The ain't no tzadik gomor. V'zeu shomer, and this is what Abai meant to say. Harbe osk Rav Shimon bar Yochai also be adam de rov omer einam tzadikim gomorim. Most of the people do not fit into this category, this profile of a tzadik gomor. And then harbe osk Rav Shimon bar Yochai v'lo also be adam l'fisha rubam einam tzadikim gomorim Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And that's what it means, b'nei aliyah mu'atim. And they'll also be the adam. You know, they're not gonna successfully put food on the table or get food from others because they're not tzaddikim gemur. So again, we have a definite connection, as we saw in Rashi Lidor Seichem, between the Tzinsenes of Man, the whole episode of Man, and the concept of Harbe Shluchim Lamokom, that we can rely on Hashem, and yet, even though that's the message inherent in the man, we have to understand that if you want to be totally exclusive, totally dependent upon the man, and totally exclusively dedicated to Torah study, says the Marsha, is that's Abai's comment in Brachos Lamed Ayin Beis, that Harbe also Rav Shimon bar Yochai v'lo also beyond, they usurped and applied to themselves that category called tzaddikim gemurim, and they don't live up to that category. They don't size up to that category. Now, Rabosai, what we're saying now is that the man and the message therein is really limited to tzaddikim gemurim. The atem re'ud var Hashem is only for tzaddikim gemurim. And if that be the case, it's a little bit, shall I say, disappointing. It's sort of anticlimactic to assume that the great message of the man and the mandate to put the man b'dor seichem as a message throughout the generations is only for tzaddikim gemurim. Again, b'shas adchak, we could always say no, that every Jew has to understand the man and he has to somehow find a balance between Torah study and parnasa. That's for sure. But can we do a better job? That's what I want to use the last few minutes that we have today to discuss that. Now, if you recall, the parasha in Korach, you know, we're fast-forwarding to Korach, finds Shevet Levi at the center of the parasha. Now, you may want to ask, why, you know, in this discussion about Man, about Sfiras HaOmer, and, you know, the fact that Lamed Gimel Ba'omer coincides with the Tchilas Yeridus Haman, and it's going to project us into that last period of time, the second, according to Kedusha Levi, the third, according to the Chasam Sofer of Torah. Why should we be studying the Parsha in Korach of Shevet Levi? And of course, the answer is obvious, because Shevet Levi was the Shevet that was exclusively dedicated to the service of Hashem. And we want to look into a sefer by Rav Sorotskin, Kozos Naim LeTorah, and there are many fans of the sefer. In Parshas Korach, he has an analysis of the story of Mata Aaron, because again, we spoke about the fact that both the Tzinsenes Haman and the Mata Aaron were placed in front of the Aaron, and when Shlomo built the Matmodius a Gniza, he placed not only the Aaron there, but also the Mata Aaron and the Tzinsenes Haman. So in a sense, the Parsha of Man and the Parsha of Mata Aaron are connected willy-nilly, whether we like it or not, because the Vahanach also Lifnei Hashem of the Tzinsenes Haman, which refers to Lifnei HaAaron, is a mitzvah that's going to apply to the Mata Aaron. So the parasha in Korach and Mata Aaron and the parasha of Man in Bishalach have to be connected together. And the Oznayim L'Torah is going to give us in Mirtz Hashem an insight into the connection between the two. And perhaps to answer our question about why the message of Tzinsenes Aman L'Doro Seichem, which seems to be limited to a very, very small percentage of the population of the Jewish people, at Tzadikim Gemurim, what's that all about? So the Pasuk says, Vayiru Vayikhu Ish Matehu. You remember that all the matos of all the Shvatim were placed, and what happened to the mat of Aaron, it flourished, and there was a miracle, the Shkedim, and so forth and so on. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had publicized, in a way that was crystal clear to everyone, his choice of Shevet Levi. And that was meant to terminate the entire rebellion against Shevet Levi in Parshas Korach. But the Pasuk goes out of its way to tell us that when the Nesiim of the Shvatim saw, they beheld what happened to the Mat of Aaron, Vayikhu Ish Matehu. Each one of the Shvatim respectively took back its Matah. What's the emphasis here? The Oznayim L'Torah says, Lama Lachu Es Hamatos Hapshutim. What were these matos of all the Shvatim? Eitz Yavesh, were they just dry wood? And what Ishal Beso, they took them home? Hey, what significance is there to those matos that the Torah has to say, Vayikhu Ish Mateu? And here he comes up with a revolutionary chiddush. Vanira Bazeh, Shebe'emes Koshal Ha'oven Es Ha There's such a competition here for the role of Shevet Levi. Every Shevet wants to, you know, is vying to get announced, to get declared and crowned. We have the avod of Shevet Levi. Harei al yidei avod of Mishkan ubebeis olamim avdu es chelko biaretz. You know, Levi really is if I can use the term, the modern Hebrew is really, they say Miskein, you know, Miskeinim, they're Miskeinim, we have to call them the Nevuch Shevet Levi, because they're the only Shevet that doesn't get a portion in the land. You know, the beautiful land is divided up amongst the Shvatim, and Shevet Levi is left out. And what is Shevet Levi going to do without a Nachlo, without a Chelik in Eretz Yisrael? How are they going to support themselves? Alem l'sparnes min ha-maser. They have to hope and pray that the Maser, you know, the tenth of the Israeli will be given over to them. Asher yitnu lehem b'nei Yisrael. V'olam choshech ba'adom l'tzapos l'shul g'rachim. What a dark, kind of dismal, despairing world you live in. If you have to beg and you have to depend upon the shulchan of Acherim, the table of someone else, meaning that he'll give you from his food, from his table, that's not a good situation. Who would vie, who would desire and present his candidacy for such a category of Shevet Levi? Okay, the avod is nice, very good. But look at the downside. You get the avoda, you're left out of all the financial basis, which at that time in an agricultural and agrarian society is the land itself. You exclude. Why take something good that has such a negative drawback? V'ein lo hazbir tofa zukak bazesh oz b'midbar yored le'man v'lo dagu l'parnosa klal. You might say that the Shvatim were vying for the role of Shevet Levi, even with its negative drawback, the flip side, that they wouldn't have land in Israel because they didn't have any worries. They were living off the man that came down min ha-shamayim. No, that's not an answer. Sherei yadu, they knew very well, shelo li'olam yeshvu b'midbar, that this experience of man, this miracle to be sustained by the man minish mind, that was only a temporary miracle during the time they'll be in the midbar. If they would be the choice, again, when I say they, it could be any shevet, just pick a shevet out of the hat, would inherit the role of Levi, fill in that, you know, slip into those shoes, then when they get to the Eretz Hanoshevet, they're left out of any portion, and now the man is not coming down from Shemayim. Is there Loma Efo, the final conclusion or the summary of this question is Robu Al Halavir? Why are they Ravu Riv, why are they fighting for the Levir? Each one wants to snatch up the role of Shevet Levi. Ella, Al Karchach, we have to conclude just mathematically that Cheshek, the desire, Lavod es Hashem Sviv Li'ol Moed, to serve Hashem around the Old Moed in the Mishkan, Hayakolkat Gadol Bidara Midbar. We have to appreciate the level, the spiritual level of the generation of the Midbar. Dar Dea. These were Jews that were dedicated exclusively to Avodas Hashem, to the study of Torah. This is the Dar Dea. The Dea means Das Hashem. And their tshuka, their cheshek, their desire for the role of Avodas Hashem Sviv Li'ol Moed was so intense. Acha kol sheva v'sheidoi mukhan levater al chelko ba'aretz. Mind-boggling. This is marvelous. Each sheva was willing to waive his rights to the land, lichios, and to thereby live chayei oni v'tzar, a life of poverty and perhaps psychological and physical anguish, b'chusrei adom, without any land in Israel, u'bilvad sheyipol begorolo ha'osher ha'gadol shel shamoshus bebeis elokein. This ideal of serving that role of Avodas Hashem the Beis HaMikdash was so desired by each one of the Shvatim. Again, Rabbo said we're on a very high level over here. You know, imagine every Shevet gets a portion of land in Israel, and you know, if you successfully are accepted as the Shevet Levi, that's it. You give that up. You're left with nothing in Eretz Yisrael. Go beg and hope for Maisa that'll come your way, Mishulchan Acherim. But no. That desire to serve Hashem is so intense, that craving is so profound, that it overshadows any sort of nervous tension about the drawback. Is Achrei Sharoa Nesim Esmata Aron Lebeis Levi Prochin Ushkedov Prochov Ushkedov What was the response of the Shvatim when they saw that Aaron was chosen? It was his matah that flourished. He would be the Shevet that has the exclusive responsibility of, when I say exclusive, I mean to the exclusion of all the other Shvatim, of standing and serving in the Ol Moed, in the Beis HaMikdash. What was their response? Lakhu b'shivron lev ishes matehu. In a sense, each Shevet and its representative bowed his head in an expression of humility, with shivron lev, having been tremendously disappointed, as if to say, my Shevet did not become the chosen Shevet, and takes its matah. Now, what was in the matah? Was it just dry wood? Kosov Olav Moshe Yisrael Kimbik Savyodo Eshem HaShevet. Moshe inscribes the name of the Shevet on each one of the matos. Laman Yeloli Eda, so that the mate of each Eda would serve as testimony. Shashevet HaZeh Hishtatev Bahitcharut Alavodas HaMishkan, that this Shevet was a contestant, you know, part of the competition to vie for the Avodas HaMishkan. V'hu mitzido, and that Shevet from its part was Muchan Mezumen Levater Al Chelko Ba'aretz, to forfeit their land in Israel, Chai Shoah, which means, you know, the physical support and the benefits of the land. U'bilvad she'tinosein lo ha'yecholes L'sharis Hashem Misviv L'olmod Beis Kodesho L'shomro. And now, this matter of each Shevet becomes a declaration, a memorial, a proof for all generations that Shevet was ready to take on Shevet Levi, to give up on Chai Shah in this world, and dedicate itself, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shvutim Yovel embellishes the site, and dedicate itself exclusively to the service of Hashem. And they were willing. What happens when a Jew is willing and ready to do something? L'shomro, to guard the Beis HaMikdash. Liftofel iskod l'asosov, to open and close its gates. That's one of the responsibilities of the Shevet Levi. Loshir Shir Hashem al Karbonos. The second responsibility is not the Mishorim, but the Mishorim. Asher Yakrivu Bnei Yisrael Hashem. To sing the songs over the Karbonos that would be built. This was the willingness and the preparedness of every single Shevet Yaf. Even though Kibachar Hashem B'Shevet Levi L'Sheretu, even at the end of the day, it was Levi that was chosen for this service. But Aval, nevertheless, Gam Mitzad Kol Echad V'Echad Mishivtei Ka Lo Haisa Menia L'Kabal Ovis HaMisra G'dola. There was no hesitation, no inhibition about taking upon itself that lovely Misra G'dola, that lovely role to play. V'Yachrim Zeh. And to accept with it achbada zos, the difficulty in terms of finances. Harei kol echad v'echad me'ashvatim v'chinas choshav lasos mitzvah v'nenes. Here's the punchline of the Yosnaim L'Torah. We have a concept and principle called choshav lasos mitzvah v'nenes v'lo asa. What happens when a person wants to do a mitzvah? He's prepared, everything is set in place, he does all the, you know, the effort, he puts in all the effort and shtadlus to prepare for that mitzvah, but nenas. At the end, something happens, mitigating circumstance beyond his control. He's not capable of doing the mitzvah. Maila olav akosav kilu aso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it if he did the mitzvah, because he was ready to do the mitzvah. He was honest and prevented beyond his control not to implement the mitzvah. Va'amata hazeh, asher hoya biyad kol nasi shal shivto, biksav yad shal Moshe Rabbeinu, hoya gdulaso, Vigavaso Shalosa Shevet. Each Shevet respectively had its gaiva, its pride, its flag. This is my national, you know, statement of glory, that I have this mata with Moshe Rabbeinu's signature on it to testify that I and my Shevet was ready and prepared to do the avoda, to take it upon, with notwithstanding all the drawbacks on the financial level of Chaisha and Malalav Akosav Kilu Aso. Is that's called Eidus. That's what it means, that each mata was an aid, was a testimony. Hameid al ritzono shal shevet zeh l'sharis lifnei Hashem ulevater al chelko ba'aretz. Each mata was testimony. Now, we can begin to put together the variables here. We spoke about the tzinsenes aman, we spoke about the mata Aaron, and we spoke about the fact that these two were placed in front of the Aron, and eventually by Shlomo Melech were hidden below, deep below the surface of the earth. What's the connection, we asked, between the Mata Aron and the Tzinsenes Aman? And why is the Tzinsenes Aman a message for all Doros, since in any event you're only really talking to the Tzaddikim Gemurim, one in a thousand? The answer is because the Mata is reminiscent of all the Matos. The Mata Aaron really represents the Mata of all the Shvatim. It's Aaron who befall, in actuality, will receive this Bechira, and he will take this responsibility to be exclusively dedicated to the Avodah in the Mishkan, but every Shevet really is the Mata Aaron, because Milo of Hakosu Kilu Aso, because every Shevet was willing and prepared and eager to do that service. And that's what the Tzinsenes Aman is all about. If a person says, look, I'm not a Tzadik Gomer, I can't rely on Hashem, Hanig Ben Mignik Derech Eretz, I have to interpret as Rabbi Shmuel Divi Asaf to the Ganecha, literally have to go out and do what I have to do, but understand that the ideal is Talmud Torah, is the Tzinsenes Aman, is the Re'u Dvar Hashem placed in front of the Aron of the Sefer Torah. And don't ask the question, Bameh Heichon Nisparnes. That's the ideal. L'maisa, you can't do it, but remember that your Shevet, if you don't belong to Shevet Levi, meaning that's exclusively dedicated to the study of Torah, to those Tzaddikim Gemurim that rely on the man, know that your Shevet also wanted to rely on the man. Your Shevet also wanted to be dedicated to service of Hashem and the Mishkan exclusively. And that's the significance of the Mata Aaron and the Tzinsenes Aman. The message of the Tzinsenes Aman indeed is for all of Klal Yisrael. It's not limited to one sector and segment of the people. It's for everyone. And the Osher of the Rebbe, of course, in his Be'er Moshe, his commentary on Parshas Beshalach, he says, Kama Muflaim heim divrei Rebbe Zusha. He quotes the Rebbe Zusha. Ala kosev on a pasuk in Tilim, a kapitol amites. Viata maki visi Hashem tochalti lechahi. Ki amavakeish tzorchei parnosa yeshlov kama makatrigim imuroi lasoslo sheiloso. If a person comes in front of the Ribbono Shelom and he says, God, I want you to intervene on my behalf with Hashgacha Pratis and take care of my Tzarkei Parnasa. I'm facing challenges financially. Is there a Makachigim up in Shamayim? There are all sorts of angels that are adversaries that come to Chas V'Shalom be Makachri to condemn a person. Why should he deserve the Hashgacha Pratis, the intervention of Hashem through divine providence to protect him financially? But says Reb Zusha, v'lamavakesh midas bitachon, if he comes along to ask Hashem for the midah bitachon, then ain't alav shum makatrigim v'oz tiskabel tfilosav hu yizkeh l'midas habitachon. There is a sliding scale here. There are levels and higher levels, and a Jew has to aspire to higher levels. His bakasha in front of the Ribbono Shelom should be for midas habitachon, Hashem, strengthen me, that I should be able to rely on you. And Hashem will accept that tefillah. Because again, the makatrigim only have a power to intervene and try to condemn a person who's asking for nisim and aflos that he doesn't deserve, to ask for physical sustenance to come down min hashamayim. Don't just ask for man min hashamayim. Ask for bitachon. If you ask for the midah of bitachon, you're protected against any sort of condemnation from the makatrigim. That's a pure tefillah. That's a tefillah zaka utahora for midas harachamim. And that's what the pasuk means. V'ata makivisi Hashem. Klomar, what it means is ma akave lecha Hashem. To what extent am I relying on you? I'm relying on you, Hashem, to give me and strengthen me, fortify my neshama, my nefesh, with the midah of bitachon, so that I could balance in terms of my daily life and my project and my program for life, lifelong project, the dedication to Torah study and avodas Hashem on the one end, and the malacha, whatever the minimum amount of malacha that I have to dedicate myself to, allow me, Hashem, to reach that level, that perfect balance of integration. After all, it's in my genes. I have it from the Ochle Aman. And if, Hashem, you will strengthen me with the midah bitachon, I'll be able to, Mirtz Hashem, do what I believe you want me to do and what I want to do. Is that's the midah of bitachon. Now let's go back to Lag BaOmer. Why is Lag BaOmer the threshold to project us into Kabbalah HaTorah? Because Lag BaOmer represents the man. And the man really is this midah bitachon that fortifies, strengthens a person and his soul with dedication to Torah study. That becomes the focal point of Lag BaOmer. If we have the first part of the Omer for Gemilas Chasodim and the second part for Avodah, then we get to the third part, which is Torah. How? What's the crossroads here? What is the bridge that links us to Torah? What is it in Lag BaOmer that projects us into Kabbalah HaTorah? And the answer is the man. Because what the man represents is the midah bitachon, the craving of a Jew to rely on Hashem, to ask Hashem to strengthen him with a powerful, profound midah bitachon. And the Arizal is famous for saying, Bitchu b'Hashem adei ad, haynu sheshema bitachon b'gematria ad, or aid, if you will. And bitachon and aid, because we said already in the name of the Chasam Sofer, that the aid of Gal Aid, I'm sorry, in the name of the Kedusha Levi, I stand corrected, is the aid of Torah, the crown of Torah. and bitchu b'Hashem, with that bitocha and relying on Hashem that He'll take care of our needs, as we intensify and climb the spiritual ladder to higher and higher levels of bitochon, we'll achieve the aid of the gal aid. The gal of Lag BaOmer becomes the threshold to project us into the aid of Torah. He wrought some it be His will that we be mechazik ourselves with bitchu b'Hashem adi aid, with the aid of bitochon that we need for the study of Torah. And Hashem should take care of and spare us of all those distractions and limit our involvement in those needs that we have to take care of for ourselves, of ochel and mashke and malbush, so that we can dedicate ourselves to the to avodas Hashem, to the study of Torah. And it should be from this gal aid, the aid of Torah, kein yiratzon, amen.